The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. Need some inspiration as you navigate military life, moves, deployments, raising military kids, keeping your marriage together, career issues, and more? Get an encouraging, humorous outlook from a spouse who's been there for 30 years. Join host Jen McDonald, author of You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, who knows that we're stronger together. Jen also writes regularly for outlets such as Military Spouse Magazine and has been featured in numerous books and national publications. Grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and sit back and relax as Jen talks with military spouses, both new and experienced, who will give you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey.
Hey guys, it's Jen, and welcome to episode 34. I'm so glad you're joining me today, and today I am talking with Terry Laurent. This is part two of our discussion back from episode 31, where she talked about being a mentor and finding a mentor, and today we are going to be talking about some really wise marriage advice from her about the time leading up to deployment, and then expectations, and then reintegration. So I think that you'll really get a lot out of this. Before we get to that, I wanted to mention a couple of things. Many of you have read my book or heard about my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. If you're looking to buy 10 or more copies, some people have used it as a group study or as a gift for like new or leaving spouses from their base. If you are looking to buy multiple copies, just let me know because I can give you a good discount price on that. So you can shoot me a note on social media or email millspousematterspodcast@gmail.com. I'm millspousematters on Instagram and Facebook if you want to drop me a line there, or even just shoot me a note and let me know like topics you want to hear or what you think of the latest show or anything like that. I love to hear from you guys. Just a reminder, you can find the complete show archive at millspousematters.com, or you can listen to it in whatever podcast app you're using. We're everywhere, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the places. If you follow me on social media, you may have read recently that I lost my brother a couple of weeks ago. He was only 42, and that has hit our family pretty hard. So I just wanted to say thank you to those of you that have reached out and sent notes or messages on social media. It really, really means a lot to me. I will probably be taking a little bit of a hiatus for a few weeks. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. So I should be back after March, but in the meantime, I thank you so much for your prayers and thoughts for our family. It has meant so much, so much more than I can say. And I'm not going to go on too much longer about that because I don't want to cry, but it has really just meant so, so much. And I thank you for that. What a wonderful community we have. So with that, I will see you after I take a little bit of a break, and I'll see you in a few weeks. I hope you enjoy this episode with Terry Laurent, talking all about deployment and reintegration. Thanks for listening. So one of the things I wanted to talk to Terry about was marriage and reintegration after deployment or being separated, because I get a lot of notes about this topic from listeners, a lot. And usually it's along the lines of, we're not used to being together, or my husband or wife has just come back and they're not the same person. And it's so deep and it's kind of bigger than I can wrap my arms around. And I do have an episode about that and a lot of resources, but I thought it would be good to hear from a quote seasoned spouse. That's what we are. Yes. And kind of your experiences with it and maybe some tips about marriage after long separation. So definitely wanted to talk to Terry about that today. So you have been, you guys have been through it as far as deployments and separations.
Yes, we have. Kind of interesting. Jim's first third of his career, he really didn't deploy. He went on a few schools or, you know, short-term trips, but we were fortunate that he didn't deploy. But at about the 10-year point is when deployment started. And then they were hot and heavy. I mean, he would go for...
Was that after 9/11?
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case for so many of us. Like it was total... There's the pre-9/11 life and the post-9/11 life. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he would go for 6 months and then be back for 6 months and then be in the bucket again to go.
Yeah.
And I it was shocking to me. I wasn't prepared for that because we had spent a good 10 years not doing that. And yeah, so we learned a lot about what to expect and how to do it a little bit better. And it just managing the whole experience. The first time, I think I wasn't prepared for the buildup.
Yeah.
And after doing it a few times, what I learned was the buildup for me was kind of the worst part.
I hate that part.
I
hate it.
Because I was dreading and anticipating and we were kind of getting at each other, but didn't understand why. And it was just miserable. I just hated it.
You almost are like, you know what, if you just leave it, we could start the countdown and we'd get this part over with. And then you feel terrible for feeling that way.
Totally. Yeah, you do. And then you feel guilt that you're like, well, just go.
But so we can get this started. Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to get it started because the sooner you get it started, the sooner you'll be done. But the buildup was really bad. So I think it's really important for young spouses to know that's normal, that it's don't be put off by that and maybe even be a little bit prepared for it. Because what we're doing is we're kind of pulling away a little bit and guarding our hearts and preparing for the pain of it. I think it's a really natural part of it all, but it's still painful. I hated it.
Yeah. And I think the pre-deployment fight or argument is more common than people say. And I remember being shocked by it and feeling like a terrible wife and then kind of comparing notes with other people and realizing that's so normal. And it can be over something just so stupid. And you're going, they're about to be, you know, in a war zone on the other side of the world. Why in the world am I being so petty? And it's really not about whatever that thing is.
No, exactly. Yeah. And then the other thing that was hard for me was trying to be strong for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very emotional person. So, they would see my emotion, even if I wasn't crying, I was visibly, unhappy about what was coming, you know, and trying to help them manage their emotions over daddy leaving and feeling guilt that I wasn't doing it good enough and that they were responding to my sadness or, you know, so.
I think kids are more resilient, though. I don't know if I've told the story before. So Steve was deployed for a good half of Matthew's high school years, our oldest son. And so for his senior year, we were in Germany. And he deployed for a year. And I still have people say, why did you stay? I was like, well, what would I have done? Uprooted all four of my kids, moved, and then we would have to move again after the deployment. Like, why would I do that? I mean, if that's somebody's choice, that's great. But that was just, it sounded horrible to me to move alone, try to be somewhere and get them settled in for a year and then move again. So I remember at the end of his year, that year, I had really relied on him to help me and to just kind of be strong while his dad was in Afghanistan and he went off to college. Did I ever tell you this? Like a month later, I was sitting there thinking about it. I was like, oh my gosh, I expected so much of him. And so I sent him this, I'm bawling as I'm typing out this email to my son. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I put too much on you. Please forgive me. I just kind of went on and on about like, you know, this was way too hard on you. And I'm so sorry that I relied on you. This wasn't fair, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then I get no response. And I thought, oh, this is worse than I thought. He's so mad at me. Oh, so the next time we talked to him on the phone, he's a boy. You know, boys just are so bad about keeping in touch sometimes. So the next time we talked to him, I said, Matthew, I sent you this email. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, well? And he goes, Mom, I never felt any of those things. I never felt like that. So you don't need to worry. I know. Which is probably the best thing.
It would have been nice if you'd responded, honey.
Exactly. Yeah. But I just think sometimes, you know, they do see that we're upset, but they don't necessarily know everything we're thinking and feeling. And
yeah. That's a really good point, Jen.
We're so hard on ourselves. Really good point.
Yes. Yes. And I think you're right that they are way more resilient and they're way more focused on their little world.
Sure.
You know, so going to school and their friendships and they're not seeing the big, big picture. Not that they don't miss their dad.
Right. I mean,
they definitely missed their dad, but yeah, I think that they really do just kind of get into their own little life and they're not quite as keyed in on all the things that we are. So,
although my other son, he was very sensitive to my moods. And so this is in Germany too. I have a lot of memories from that last one because it was the last one and they were both in high school. And then my other two were younger, but he would, he would walk in the door and kind of sense I was having a bad day. And all of a sudden, the next thing I would know, he would have walked over to the little shopette and he would just come in and not say one word. And I'd like be in the kitchen making dinner. He'd slide like a chocolate bar across the counter to me.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, he's going to be the best husband. And he is like, because he was very aware of, oh, let me tread lightly. And like, he wouldn't even say one thing. It's like, here's your dark chocolate.
That is so cute.
It was really cute. But
that is awesome.
Well, and I think what you're saying about understanding that build up to them leaving, that's so, so important. And if you're feeling like you just want it to be over with and you want them to just get on your way, just that's such a normal feeling. And I think too, the other part is no matter how many times you go through it, it's a little bit surprising, isn't it? I think we've done this. I've got this. And then it hits you like, ugh, it still sucks. It still sucks.
People would say that to me. They go, so it must get easier after you do it, you know, so many times. And I said, I would love to tell you that it does. Mm-hmm. But for me, it didn't.
No.
Maybe some people it does. And there would be people I would talk to, wives who would say, it's just time for my husband to deploy. He needs another deployment. And maybe that is just how they operate, but that was never how we operated.
No, me neither.
Every deployment was a sad moment for me. I don't do life as well without my husband.
Yeah.
He's the fun in our lives. So aww. I just didn't.
Well, you're married for a reason. You kind of like him.
Yeah.
You like him to be around.
Yeah, I like him. I like him around. I'm not looking for ways to get rid of him. So yeah, it just that I couldn't relate to that, but I did realize that I learned better coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So even though nothing takes the yuck out of it, I think that we do get better at dealing with it.
Yes.
So I would say that I did get better at dealing with it, but no, it never got easier.
The other part of it is I'm totally with you with that. Like I was never like, yeah, you need to go, you need to go. But we did hit a point that last decade where my husband, and I've said this multiple times, he was gone more than he was home and I didn't like it, but it was our normal. I got very used to having to be very, very independent, which is a good trait, but it's not a great trait when they come home because you forget to be, you know, to check in with them like you should because they have an opinion. They're part of this marriage. They're part of this family. And I got very used to just kind of forging ahead and making decisions. And I would like be way ahead and all of a sudden go, oh, I should see, you know, how my husband
and
feels about whatever the
spouse is. Don't you find that spouses talk about that being one of the big transitions of coming back?
Yes.
Is who's in charge of what now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that can be a big transition for spouses. And when spouses would ask me about that, I too would say, yeah, you do. Just like you're saying, you get used to making all the decisions. You get used to just plowing ahead and not having somebody you have to check with. And so that when they return, you really do have to kind of switch gears and remember, hey, he's part of this team too. And I do need to check in with him and I can't just plow ahead and make decisions. Some spouses would talk to me about how he would come home and just want to like take charge. And I think that that's a struggle as well, because that probably should never have been to begin with.
I mean,
it should always be a partnership. You should always be checking with each other and talking about things. So, but yeah, trying to get back into that that groove, it takes a few weeks at a minimum, and maybe longer for some.
If you find yourself in that position, I feel like perhaps these deployments and separations can magnify issues that are already ongoing. Do you have any tips for that? If you have a sore spot in your marriage or something that's a weak point and it's made worse, it's usually not going to be made better unless you're very intentional about it. So do you have any resources or tips for spouses that their husband or wife has come back home and they are just not connecting? It's not going well.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's really good to identify that and not just kind of be okay with it. Like, this is just, this is our life.
Yeah.
I think that we should always be looking at how to intentionally make our relationships better. So whether that be our husband or wife or even our friendships, friendships are relationships are a growing process. So never just accept status quo and go, well, this is just what it is. If something isn't working, you got to figure out why it isn't working and how to get it moving forward. So one of the things I learned in my marriage is that I am the more verbal processor.
That's such a female thing, not to be stereotypical, yes, but it's true.
I know. And so I would sometimes say, I feel like I'm the emotional gatekeeper of our relationship. And I would be resentful about that until I came to realize that it's okay that that's what I am. I am more intentional and more keyed into the need for that. Whereas my husband is just not as much of a verbal processor. And maybe some things that bother or annoy me aren't a problem to him. And so if I need it fixed, I've got to talk to him about it. I have to be willing to bring up the hard conversation. And again, going back to what I said earlier, I'm really non-confrontational. I don't like bringing up difficult conversations, but I've learned to do it better because I know it's a necessary part of life. It just...
You mean he can't read your mind?
Exactly. And I would get mad that he wasn't reading my mind or reading my passive-aggressive behavior. So I'm just not going to talk then. If you don't want to talk about things, we just won't talk. And so silence for a while. Well, that didn't work because that he won't be manipulated. So, he's happy with silence. Gosh,
they're the same person. Gosh, that is so funny. No wonder they get along.
Yes. So So I think it's really important that you be willing to address the issue. And so if you at least start it with a conversation and say, hey, this isn't working for me. We got to work this out. And sometimes just having the conversation is enough to fix it. Maybe he wasn't aware that that's how you were feeling. Maybe you just needed to talk about it in order to get through it. But if at that point you realize us talking about it isn't fixing it, there is a point that you just have to decide maybe we need to bring someone else into it. And that's when it gets difficult because then you're like, oh, do we really need marriage counseling? And where do we get that? And honestly, I don't have great resources for that. I'm wondering if you do. I would say as a military person, the first place, having had a husband who was a first sergeant, would be to go to your first sergeant. Hey, we're struggling a little bit. Do you have some resources? And so they are not your marriage counselor for sure.
Right.
But they do know how to get you the resources you need and what's available to you as a military family. The chaplain also.
Well, and chaplains are so good. Yeah. One of my guests was talking about the 5 love languages for military couples. I think I'll find the right title, but that was a really eye-opening one for her. A person that I really look up to told me years ago, and I know this is a quote that a lot of people have heard, but I tell it to myself, just because you're feeling it doesn't make it true.
Yes.
So it can be your truth and where everybody's all about your truth, but just because a feeling is passing over you doesn't mean that your spouse is a terrible person or what your perception is actually the reality. And I think sometimes putting yourself in the other person's shoes is so important because I would be thinking, well, what about my needs? I've been alone. I've done this. I've done that. And if you start those little mental tallies, nobody wins. It's not a competition. Nobody. And then just thinking about, I've never had to go be in the Middle East and be away from my kids and had no one hug me. I haven't had any, you know, that would be awful. And what would that feel like? And if I did go through that, how would I deal with it? And then you suddenly have a lot more grace towards your spouse. On the flip side of that, for them to stop and think about what is it like to be carrying all the burden for the family, to do everything for the kids without help. You know, I think that goes both ways, but you can only control yourself. But maybe having those talks where it's not a competition, but just, well, this is what we've been through. This is what I've been through. And you start to remember you're on the same team, which is really important.
Well, along those same lines too, like when you're having phone conversations with them while they're deployed, I think a lot of times when we're left behind, we want to spend that whole time complaining about being the one that's left behind, carrying the whole burden, you know. And yeah, my advice always is don't do that. Don't waste your time that you get to talk to them only. Not that you can't be honest about, you know, if there are some things that you need to talk through or you need his advice or his input on how to deal with a family issue, a kid issue, a school issue, whatever. But if all you do is complain about how hard your life is without him there, all it will do is tear down your relationship.
And it stresses
There's no good in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's that fine balance of being honest versus what is needed to be shared in this moment. Like, what good will this do if I have 5 minutes to talk to him, you know, or her? The other thing I was going to mention too was this last one when he came back, we were so smug. we were leading up to him returning and we didn't really get to talk on the phone a lot. We never got to Skype just because of where he was. Like, we never had any kind of video chat. That was not an option where he was. And so we would write a lot of emails. And then whenever he could get to it, he would look at it and answer it. And so we're kind of going back and forth a couple months before he came back, like, we got this. We know how to do this. Feeling very prepared. Like, this is not our first rodeo. We know what reintegration is like. And come to find out, we had some struggles. And it was very humbling. Like, at this point, I think he'd been in over 25 years and going, really? And you just, that just goes to show you, you can be as prepared as possible. And it's still going to be a huge adjustment, especially if they've been gone for a long time. So I think for us, our faith has really helped with a lot of that because it's helped make sense of things and we have this common faith. But I wanted you to talk about how important has faith been to you, your marriage, Terry?
Well, yeah, I'm with you. It is the foundation of our marriage. So without our faith, I often wonder, not to make anybody feel bad who isn't on this page with me, but I just don't know how I would get through life without my faith. I pray about everything. So nothing is too big or too small. I prayed about getting my contact in this morning. And I got it in. I'm a new contact wearer. I hate putting them in. Anyway.
Moments with God. You can find them anywhere.
I'm serious. We we've gotten better about praying together, which is often I find even of really seasoned marriages to find out some, you know, we don't really pray together. It's a unique kind of thing. And we do try to pray together. And I think that breaks down some barriers and helps us go to God about all the things that are a struggle in our lives. But I really do believe that God has helped us work through some stuff that I don't think we would have gotten through without praying about it, without trusting him to work on things. Sometimes it's as simple as I remember in Germany when I was going through that really dark first time of being away from family and being in a new place, and we were having some struggles just with each other. And I remember praying about some stupid issue about him taking the garbage out. You know, it was just something stupid. It was stupid, but it was a monumental moment of me with God saying, I don't know if I can put up with this, you know, like, and feeling like, what are you going to do? Fly home? I mean,
yeah.
But it felt really big to me at the time. And I just remember feeling like God was showing me that the change needed to happen in my heart, not in him. That if he never did whatever it was I wanted him to do about the garbage, was I going to be able to love him well anyway?
Oh, wow.
Was I really going to let garbage be the issue? And it was a critical moment of me learning that I was the one who needed to make an adjustment.
Mm.
And that was really good for me going forward in marriage in general, because my faith and my belief in how God is shaping us and molding us all the time, I was willing to surrender and let him say, it's really you that needs to change in this moment. But seriously, I was still fighting back going, no. I was asking a simple thing. Seriously, you're telling me that he can't take the garbage out?
You need to change him.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted God to change him and make him perfect so that I could love him well. And God was showing me
that would be ever so easy.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. So.
Well, it's good you learned that early on.
Well, and I'm still learning it.
Well, sure. That's the whole, I think I'm going to have to do like a whole series on life after retirement.
Later on, seriously. Yes, that was a whole nother transition. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But
well, and just when you think you've got things figured out, that's the thing about military life. It changes and you have to readjust and you have to find a new normal, which sounds cliche, but it's so true because you'll just get it all figured out. You're overseas or you're stateside or they're deployed or they're not deployed. Yeah. And you get into whatever that groove is and then boop, it changes and it keeps you on your toes. That is sure. Well, do you have any, I'm just, as we wrap it up here, for a spouse that's maybe facing their first deployment, do you have a couple of tips of how to best prepare or things that have worked for you?
Well, I would say definitely prepare your heart. Just know going in, manage your expectations, know that it is going to be hard. And really there's nothing you can do that's going to make it not be hard, but you can learn to do some things like when you're feeling really frustrated with your husband, take a step back and realize I'm not really frustrated with him. I'm frustrated with the situation and be more kind. Choose your words carefully. Don't let things blow up into ridiculous arguments that you're going to regret later. Just take a step back. You know, sometimes no words are better than the wrong words.
Yeah.
I often say you can't take back words, but you can choose to re-say them later. So if you feel the impulse to say something that you're feeling a check in your heart about, don't say it. Just wait, because it might just be the emotion of the moment. But if it's something that really needs to be said, you can readdress it later. But wow, once those hurtful words are out, they resonate in the mind of the person you said it to. And sometimes that damage is really hard to fix. So just be careful about your words. Just know it's a hard time. Manage your expectations and then talk to each other. Don't freeze each other out in your preparation for the pain either.
Yeah.
You know, just try to walk through it together and you'll get through it. You will get through it. And you need to keep telling yourself that too. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay.
And I think that would apply to reintegration as well as the coming home. It's the same things. It's, you don't have to give voice to every thought you're having. And that's hard to do, especially I'm a very verbal person and I have a lot of words that I've said that I regret. And I wish that I would have just shut my mouth. And we used to always read my kids and I, the Little House on the Prairie books together. And so Ma Ingalls is a wealth of wisdom. Yeah. And I remember there's several times in those books where she said, least said, soonest mended. And I'm like, no, you need to talk it out and say your truth. You know, and I just, the older I get, I'm like, there's so much wisdom in that. You don't have to, you know, vomit out everything you're thinking. It's not necessary. I love that advice, Terry. I think that's really important. So for reintegration, same kind of advice. And is there anything else for when they're coming home? I mean, I think managing expectations is a huge one because they're exhausted, number one.
Yeah. I think the more that you can extend grace and love and be give space for your spouse to reintegrate and be focused on his needs and not your own. I know that's hard advice because we do go, well, what about me? When is he going to do that for me? But if you can just block that thought out altogether and just go, I'm just going to do what I have the power to do. Because like you said earlier, we can only control ourselves. So the more I focused on making sure that my husband felt like he was welcomed back into the family, that I was consulting him on what decisions I was making and giving him space to reintegrate, the better the whole situation went and the more that I was reaping the benefit of that because he was given a safe space to love me back. He didn't come into this harsh, you've been gone for all this time and now you need to pick up and yeah, it's my turn. When is my chance to get away? Not that you shouldn't be able to get away for a couple of days if he's willing to allow that, but don't rush at him with that. Just take it easy. I don't know if that's good advice or not, but that's what I would say.
And I think you and I have both been around long enough to see it the other way and how hard that is. And I love that thought of a welcoming space to just, they've got to decompress and even have time to heal and just they're physically exhausted. They're emotionally exhausted. And I think it again, goes back to put yourself in each other's shoes.
Yeah.
And if you need a break, there's a way to go about that. You can be honest and just say, you know, what maybe the kids need to go to the grandparents or we need to have a weekend away. I think too, the other thought of thinking it's going to be this big honeymoon, it might be, but it also probably is not going to meet those movie type of expectations. That's not real life, especially if you're on multiple deployments. And I think that whole thing of they're gone, they come back, and then the whole time they're back, if you know they're going again, like you did, you kind of live with that dread.
Yeah.
That's, you know, until you're out of it, you go, that is not a normal way for a family to live.
It's not.
And it's, and we know that we're not saying it's easy, but so what you have to do is if that is your normal, you've got to figure out a way to live with it and cope with it.
The other thing that was helpful to me too, and it may help somebody else is, you know, what is that song, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You really do grow in these moments. You become a better, stronger person if you choose to go that route. If you decide this is not going to kill me, I am going to get better. I am going to get stronger. You will. It will make you better.
It will. And again, I just have to put this little disclaimer. We're not talking about extreme cases. Right. And if there are issues that you're having, there are resources for that. And I will put links to all of that. But this is just more towards the normal day-to-day. And I have gotten some notes from spouses, you know, dealing with huge fallouts from PTSD. And that's just,
that's a whole different
issue entirely. Yeah. So my heart goes out to you if you're dealing with that. And do know that there are resources for you.
Yeah.
But I think this is more towards the day-to-day rhythm of a typical separation and what, and it can be hard.
Yeah.
We're not saying put up with anything.
I kind of feel like, I hope they're hearing my heart on this. I'm not even saying your feelings don't matter and they do, but the more we fight for our rights and the more we fight for being heard, the more it just goes badly. It just never has gone well in my experience. So
I am with you. Well, we've been married 31 years. You guys have been married for 30 years.
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't feel old until I put things into the
charts.
But I do think it's important for younger spouses to hear from somebody that's had a successful marriage that you've made it work. It hasn't been easy. Yeah. And this is what has helped you. And I have a friend of mine that's 10 years in front of me, and she's the one that said the whole thing about just because you feel it doesn't make it true, because I was kind of coming up to that premenopausal, those moments, and I was like, why is my husband so stupid? You know, and she's like, he's suddenly just so mean. And she's like, is he though? And I was like, stop bringing logic into it. And, you know, she just, so it's the same kind of thing of just because you're feeling it a certain way does not mean that that's the truth of the matter. And just step back sometimes and it's hard.
Yes.
So, well, Terry, I thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I don't know if you have anything else to add before we close out.
I don't think so. We've covered a lot of ground today.
You have such good thoughts. And I think you're an invaluable resource, and If people want to connect with you, I don't know if you have a public social media or if you're on Twitter or.
That is so funny. Yeah, I'm not really good at that. I do have a blog that I post once every 6 months. So,
well, we will share that then, if you want.
It's really sad, but yeah, I can send you the blog spot. I'm on Facebook. I do have a Twitter account somewhere, but I never look at it.
Oh, you're so
I'm
funny.
Really, I'm not very good at the social media thing. So,
well, we will share your blog if people want to connect with you that way. But awesome. I thank you so much for taking your time to come on and share, Terry.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's such an honor that you would have me, Jen. So
oh, of course.
This has been a blast.
You've been on my list for a while, just trying to connect.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. And I hope that you got some good stuff out of this talk with Terry. And I hope that you guys all have an incredible week. Thanks for listening.
Connect with Jen at jenmcdonald.net or on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also purchase her book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse at amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and other booksellers. Love the show? Don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. Until next time, have a great week.